What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Who You Got with
Mello
and Rado. This is a sports podcast where we talk your favorite sports debates, sports highlights, and sports matchups. And if you guys are watching the video, make sure you guys click that like button down below, man. And make sure you guys subscribe to our channel, too. We're over on YouTube. And if you guys are checking us out on Facebook, then make sure you guys follow along with us, what we got to say. Also, you guys want to check us out on Twitch. We got a Twitch out right now where we post all our episodes. We're going to start streaming some of our old episodes as well if you guys didn't catch those yet. So those are going to be going up on there. As well as we got a Patreon that you guys can go on and subscribe to, which is amazing. That's where we answer all the questions that we get from you guys. We also have some merch that we want to show you for you guys. Also, you guys can check out our personal pages. Instagram at The Iconic Dude and Mello.
Mello the Notorious.
That's right. That's right. So make sure you guys go check us out right there. And what do we got this week, Mello? What are we doing?
Man, if you've been listening to us recently, you already know we've been talking about NFL season is up and running in full bloom. And now we pretty much are back on track. Weekly episodes talking about the NFL season, predicting some games. You know, we got to throw into Who You Got.
Yep.
And just kind of talking about just certain topics that are just hot topics around the scene, basically at this time.
Exactly.
So right now we just wrapped up NFL week two. Hell of a first 2 weeks. And we're pretty much going to go over some top storylines and predict some primetime games coming up for week three.
Yeah, I mean, what a hell of a week two in the NFL. And honestly, these first 2 weeks have been really crazy. A lot of unexpected things have been happening. And we're definitely going to be talking about some of it with you guys tonight. Why don't we just go ahead and start off with the first topic. It's been a crazy 2 weeks in Cincinnati, man. And the Cincinnati Bengals have had a tough road. Obviously, the first week of the season, we saw what happened. It was a tight game. And then the second week, again, they lost in the fourth quarter. And now they come out 0-2. So what's going on with the Cincinnati Bengals? What do you expect them going forward? And, you know,
I mean, you just said it. We're basically talking about the defending AFC champions. Pretty much a couple plays away from winning a Super Bowl, if you really want to put it that way. And for them to start off 0-2 is quite worrisome.
Right.
It seems like with that sort of team, they got a lot of young players. Obviously, some hungry players made a good postseason run. You would not guess that they would have gotten worse over the postseason. Even spent some money upgrading that O-line. But right now, it's not looking too good, and it's crazy, but the reason is almost still the same. It's that O-line.
Yeah, exactly.
We're literally, they held their opponents to just over 43 points in two games. So the opponent's not even putting up 30 points. So crazy. You can't really say the defense is just giving it up.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing competitively, but clearly when you got Joe getting sacked 13 times already in just 2 weeks, he's basically already on pace to surpass what he had last year, which was the top quarterback when it came to getting sacked. And you would think that would be the first concern, but it definitely looked like they got a lot of pieces to figure out. I don't know. Do you think it's time to kind of panic, or do you think they got some time to really kind of let the pieces fall together?
So, yeah, you made some great points about him, but honestly, I don't think it's time to panic. I really don't. I know that, you know, even in previous episode, we talked about their offensive line before, and even now you made some great points about them. Like, they were supposed to make an upgrade, but, you know, first game, they let 7 sacks go, and now this second game, 6 sacks, and really, they looked bad. Like, even on the run, they didn't look good. Joe Mixon couldn't get any push down the middle. And so it might, on the outside, it might look like it's concerning. But looking at their division, you know, you got Pittsburgh. They just lost T.J. Watt for pretty much almost the whole season. So that's one of the guys that they don't have to worry about anymore, you know, coming in and sacking Joe Burrow. And then, obviously, you see the Ravens. Their defense isn't the greatest, you know, especially their secondary. So they're going to let go of a lot of points in the secondary. But, you know, looking at their division, they don't look like they have to really be in trouble yet. It is concerning as far as, like, if you're looking at them as a Super Bowl team, though. What do you think, though?
So, it for me, really, honestly, I don't want to be concerned, but there should be cause for concern. So, here's the thing. The Bengals were 7-6 last season at one point before winning, what, 5? 6 or 7 after that.
Mm-hmm.
At least 5 of those were by a touchdown or less. The Bengals' trademark last year was their explosiveness. They have not shown that at all this year. Obviously, like you mentioned, Joe Mixon, I think he's only averaging 3 yards a carry right now.
Terrible.
Not looking too good. Jamar and Higgins aren't getting what they should be getting. But I personally believe that's just a rushing. You know, Joe's not having the time in the pocket like he should to get them the ball. But if they don't figure out their play calling to get back to that explosiveness, when you got a 7-6 team, goal basically went out pretty much the last half of the season. Those are all very close games. Like I said, one touchdown or less.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like one or two plays away from being losses.
True.
And when you have that many games that are one or two games or plays away from being a loss, you can't sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already shown that it's hard this year. They could have won that that Cowboys game.
That's
they,
true.
They gave it up in the last second.
They did. They did. That was that's a good point. They definitely could have had both of these games, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, both of these games, they really could have had. It was in their hands, and literally the fourth quarter, they pretty much gave it up. I mean, like you said, they're not really letting go of a lot of points. Their defense is really holding up,
mm-hmm.
but it is their offense that's really not picking up the slack. Like last year, obviously, they had one of the most offensive or best passing teams in the league, so... honestly, like this year, you're seeing the T. Higgins. He didn't play that well the first game, so Jamar Chase didn't start out well. Now the second game, they really couldn't get open, and they're having trouble, you know, getting opening and starting to get some confidence out there. But it all starts with Joe Burrow, though. Like that line definitely has to protect them. And I mean, like I said, for me, it's not too worrisome because I do think that at the end of it, they are going to make the playoffs, even if it's a wild card team. I do think that they're going to be just on the cusp of the playoffs. I don't think that they're going to be the winner of this division, though.
I need to say at this point, 0-2, it's hard to, with such a competitive division, you know, even if you might not think that, just with the Ravens alone, if they stay healthy, you can't give up games and lose that division. So I definitely do believe they will make a playoff or run. But like I said, they have a lot of things. Like I said, a lot of people didn't expect much from them, let alone the Super Bowl last year, because of that experience, because of those close games, because they didn't always seem like they had it together,
mm-hmm.
but like it was always their explosiveness that saved them. If you can't get back to that explosiveness, then your team is not going to be nowhere near the team it was.
That's very true.
So one thing I would like to say, it does look like they're trying to give Joe Burrow more signaling
mm-hmm.
Responsibilities. From what I read into, it looked like he's actually calling his own protection.
Year. Like the Manning way, and Brett Favre.
Can show you that he's clearly gotten a lot wrong so far when it comes to calling out your mics and all that. Obviously, life without CJ, Ozuma?
Ozuma, yeah.
That was his best,
great
his
tight
best
end.
Blocker. And pretty much... I think they just picked someone up literally today or yesterday. They picked up another O-line that is supposed to be another acquisition that's supposed to help. But
it better help because they need it, man.
It's the line. Joe Burrow needs more time. He needs more protection. We've already seen what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of that offense needs that because at the end of the day, they can't be a running team. They only have a decent back. It's not like they have a prolific back, but they do have above average receivers, so they need to get the ball to those receivers, and that comes from getting time in the pocket.
That's true. I think that Joe Mixon can be good. Like the O-line was good, he could be serviceable. You've seen 1 year he almost had 1500 yards with Cincinnati. It's just that when they don't have a good offensive line, he can't get any push, and you know, they're just like literally pushing right through, so he's getting a lot of they're getting tackles for loss. Whoever they're playing, the Cowboys had a few tackles for loss last week. Micah Parsons did, and you just saw that they couldn't really get any push in down the middle from any running plays. So they're gonna have a lot of trouble with the running game, I think. Even if they do shore up that, you know, the left tackles where people are pretty much coming from the outside to sack Burrow, the middle is still gonna be a problem.
I mean, at this point, most teams can have a good pass rushing game without loading up that box.
Mm-hmm.
Just because how weak that offensive line is, and that's going to be a problem. So
yeah.
I definitely wouldn't say they're in trouble. I definitely wouldn't say panic.
Mm-hmm.
0-3 to the Jets, you have no choice but to panic.
Then you say they're in trouble if they lose next week to the Jets?
0-3 and you lost to the Jets.
Hey man, you saw what the Jets just did in week two. They came back and came back from 14 points in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Now Flacco think he that guy.
Flacco thinks he's that Super Bowl quarterback again. He's like,
but he's no, that the, dude. The Bengals definitely got some work to do, because if they let Joe Flacco go and throw all over the ass and he comes away with a win and they go 0-3, then yeah, I would say be worried. Yo, because that's a short season now, and that's at least 3 to 4 division games,
right?
That you right. might not walk away with. So that's at least what, 6 losses. Because at that point, if you go 0-3, I'm not giving you neither win against the Ravens. And at that point, I'm gonna predict the Steelers to get rid of Trubisky sooner or later, and by that point, at least pull up.
I mean, we heard those Pickett chants in Pittsburgh. Exactly. We heard those Kenny Pickett chants.
The Steelers might be looking better in a few weeks, you know, as well. So I might give them one game as well. So at this point, if they go 0-3 to the Jets, and I'm gonna predict them to lose 6 games, and that already is putting them outside first place of their own division.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. But you know, that you made a great point about the Jets. Now that I think about it, you know, the Jets did win in the fourth quarter coming back, and literally the Cincinnati's problem the last 2 games has been in the fourth quarter. They've given it up. So like, if the Jets do come back in the fourth quarter, beat them, and show that, you know, that's really their issue, is they can't really, their guys don't have the endurance to really, like, you know, keep it up in the fourth quarter, or they're maybe just not being coached right in the fourth quarter. Maybe it's a lot of time management issues that I've seen as well, especially in that first game. There was a lot of time management issues in that first game with Cincinnati. Then you could definitely start to worry if they lose to the Jets. I agree with you. But for now, I don't think that they need to worry, because even if you say that they lose 6 games, they're going to still end up being, you know, 11-6. So they can still make the playoffs with 11-6.
That's me just only adding 3 more losses in their division.
Right. I got you.
Because if they go 0-3 to the Jets.
Yeah, you mean they got 6 more, you're saying?
Two more
in the division.
In their division. And at that point, they lost 5, and there's still about 6 or 7 more games left. And I don't know their schedule out the back of my hand, but you're not convincing me you're winning all those.
Right. No, I agree.
What I'm saying. So if you lose to the Jets, and at best, you lose 6 games, in my opinion.
At best. See, that's a good point, because I think that any game that they play in their division, it's a possibility that they could lose. Like, if they play Pittsburgh at this point, they could still lose that. And even we've seen Cleveland play pretty well this year so far.
And play good defense.
Exactly.
It's not Chubb's fault that he ran that ball in.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. He had to, though. That's what they're taught to do. They're taught to, like, make that play.
Yeah,
and
put the points on the board. Why, I mean, that was something that right. really, like, was a thought. Like,
I understand if they were, like, on a 50-yard line and, you know, he had a lot of open space to go down, but he had, like, 1 or 2 yards to go down, and he wasn't sure if he was going to get the first down or cross the goal line. So might as well cross that goal line for Chubb. But that's another story with them. But like I said, they could be beaten by any team in that division.
Oh, 100%.
Cincinnati can, and that's what I don't trust them about. But so, I still think they can make the playoffs, even with a 10-7 record.
But at that point, you know, can they make the Super Bowl?
Not at all. Exactly. I don't see them. And I said this last week when we were talking about them. I did say that this was going to be a big problem for them all year, and that's why I don't see them as a contender, and I don't see them as anyone you should be scared of in the AFC. Yeah. And you really shouldn't, just because that issue is huge. That offensive line, after a while, Joe Burrow, that's the reason why he wasn't playing in his rookie season. He got hurt from that offensive line. So I'm not wishing anyone to get hurt, but shit happens when you got sacked so many times, you know.
No, that's a whole fact. But either way, Cincinnati, pick it up.
For real. Definitely need to. We love to see Ja'Marr Chase ball out.
Granted, I will tell you, I am happy that Cincinnati gave it up the first week, because it saved me from losing fantasy. The guy I was facing had one. He literally has half the freaking Cincinnati team. Damn. Like, he has Joe Burrows, he had Ja'Marr Chase or Higgins, one or the other. The Cincinnati kicker, Cincinnati defense, and their tight end.
Damn. Yeah. Well, but, good thing he had it, because they didn't do that good. Him. That kicker especially. He missed a few of them.
He was talking crap to me on Thursday night, the first game of the season, Bills versus Rams. I had Matt Stafford on my team. Matt Stafford threw 3 picks. And I'm like, all I need is for Joe Burrow to throw 3 picks, and I'm good. I can still beat you. Joe Burrow went out there and threw 3 picks in the first half.
Damn. There you go.
Boy,
you
I was go. Talking so much shit.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were on that one, though. I'm sure you were. All right, that's crazy, though.
Honestly, we'll definitely still expect to see him in the playoffs, though. But
I
let's
think so. Yeah.
Let's move on to our next topic. Another hot topic this week is regarding Justin Herbert. There's so much been going like every week. I keep hearing him being put in the top three quarterback in the league comparisons. Or more of the AFC, because I don't think a lot of people consider him better than Rodgers or Brady, but a lot of people consider him better than Josh Allen still, and put him basically behind Mahomes. Mm-hmm. For a guy who's never had a winning record, I'm having trouble trying to figure out how this is. What is everyone's obsession with Justin Herbert? So basically the question I want to ask is, where do you put Justin Herbert potential cap at? How good, bad, or average do you actually think he can be? Because at the end of the day, the man has never had a winning season, but he's made his name off of making big plays and trying to win his team close games.
That's a good point.
So that, I think that's what got him his notoriety. But at the end of the day, what does it really amount to? Especially if he haven't had a winning season yet.
That's a good point. He didn't have a winning season, but... Well, wasn't it the winning season last year, technically, the 9-8 record? That's a winning season.
Was it?
That's a 9-8 record. I believe that's what they were, because remember they were trying to get a playoff spot last year, and they just
so
didn't.
So if they are 9-8, then that was just above just 500.
Yeah, they were just above 500, but I see, I definitely see what you're saying, because they could have been like 500 pretty much if they didn't win the last game of the season.
They went 9-8.
Right. So, but I mean, as far as Justin Herbert, one thing I do got to say about him is he's my MVP of this season. I called him to be my MVP early in the season. And I know we saw, like, in week two, we saw him at the end of the game. He got hit a few times, and a lot of people were, like, worried about his ribs. And he obviously came back, and he literally looked like a warrior coming back and playing through an injury, which a lot of people would have thought that he would have been out for the whole game. He came back. He threw three touchdowns. He's been balling out this year, honestly. Like, you got to give it to him. Already, like, 600 yards passing. My man's, like, literally one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. Right now, a lot of quarterbacks are throwing it up deep. You got Josh Allen out there. You got Jalen Hurts out there throwing deep. Obviously, Tua had a crazy game with 6 touchdowns and 400 passing yards. So a lot of touchdowns are being thrown, and a lot of yards are being thrown. But I do think that consistency matters. And last year, we did see a lot of consistency from him, especially late. The last 10 games of the season, he was throwing 300-yard games pretty much every time. He was averaging around 320 for the whole season, which is really a great number to average as a quarterback. I think that this year he's going to have an amazing season with Mike Williams. And as long as Allen stays healthy, Keenan Allen on the other side, if he stays healthy, I think that they got a great offense. Eckler's still out there. They still got Hunter Henry. And I think – I'm sorry, not Henry, because Henry went out to New England. But they got another tight end right now that they just picked up this year. But with them, they're actually going to – I think that they have one of the greatest offenses in the NFL this season, and possibly – you're going to see them as a top 10 offense maybe of all time, because just right now, I mean, consistency matters. They've already had 100-yard rushers and 300-yard passers, both games. So if they keep doing that, that's going to be a crazy amount of yards. If they can get both 100-yard runners and 100-yard or 300-yard passers, from Justin Herbert. Now, as far as his projection going, I got him as MVP this year and beyond. I think that he's definitely going to be a franchise quarterback for Los Angeles Chargers, and I do think he could easily win them a Super Bowl in the future. I do see him as a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Super Bowl MVP one, in his future. If we're looking 5, years in the future, then yeah, that's what I see in his projection. But what about you though? What do you expect from him, and what do you project him to be?
So with this Chargers team, every year is talking, and that's what bothers me, because every year they talk about how they're one of the most talented teams on paper. True. And it took them up to last year to finally get just one game above 500, basically. And they already aren't looking the greatest this year. Mm-hmm. And that's my problem with the inconsistency. Like, I've never seen someone else get praised so much for not doing anything. besides making a few good plays. Because not even like you're winning all those games. You're just making a few good plays. So for me, right now, I'm not too high on him. I understand he has the potential, but I don't think he's there yet, and he's far from it. I don't think he's going to have an MVP season there, or he's going to throw a lot. To me, he's just like a young Brett Favre, but Brett Favre, while had the ended up being obviously Hall of Fame quarterback, like a young Brett Favre was just inaccurate, throwing picks, just slinging the ball. So when I try to look at Justin Herbert, I try to just kind of break it down on what I see from. And obviously, when you come to most quarterbacks, you got size, athleticism, throwing,
arm strength,
and obviously mobility. Accuracy. When it comes to short, mid accuracy. Right. So when it comes to just what he is, I mean, I get the size, 6'6", well over 200 pounds, very athletic. He's someone who's tall as hell, can see over the line. That comes to where he can stay in the pocket, not have to really move around, can find his pockets from doing that. Athleticism, obviously he's not the fastest person. He's not like Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, but he is actually athletic and very athletic for his size. Yep. I can admit to that. He's someone that can get the ball moving anytime he needs to be able to get out the pocket. He has the ability to run, take those long strides, and he actually has shown that he can throw a good ball on the run as well. Obviously, after that, we're going to look at some arm strength. He's already, now I think that's what it is. The arm strength and the deep ball is why people love him so much.
For sure. I'll agree to that 100%. Like, people love to see that deep ball. That I'm trying.
An accurate deep ball. He does have one of the most accurate deep balls in the league, even at an early age. And I will admit to that. He's pretty much showing that he can not only throw the ball deep, but read defenses, look off defenders, pump fake, find a way to not only throw the deep ball, but make that play happen to where that can actually be a ball that can be thrown. And then obviously short and mid, he's pretty good on that as well. He's good throwing under pressure, getting himself some sort of yardage on what some people might not be able to. So overall, I see where the potential is.
Right.
100%, like I said, more athletic Brett Favre, which at the end of the day was prime Carson Wentz.
Oh, I don't know about that. Brett Favre is a Hall of Famer.
But remember, before Carson Wentz got injured, remember the 11-game win season in the Eagles when he was basically accurate, efficient, mobile as hell. He had an arm. Yeah, you got to remember, Carson Wentz's projection was a lot higher.
If you're talking about Brett Favre's career and Carson Wentz's career, I don't think it's going to be nearly as close.
But that's why I said projection, like body-wise, strength, everything I just went over, he basically has the same projection as a prime Carson Wentz.
All right. But that's what I was saying. That's a big difference between Brett Favre and Carson Wentz, I feel. But career-wise.
I don't think Justin Herbert will be Brett Favre.
He's definitely a gunslinger. He likes to throw in double coverage.
That's the only thing I relate to Brett Favre is that.
The interceptions a little bit.
I can't pick a Hall of Famer that I can think that he will get to that potential. I don't see that in Justin Herbert.
That's where I disagree, because I actually do see that, and I see a lot of Peyton Manning in him. I see that poison in the pocket, and I do see him. Obviously, Peyton Manning didn't have that deep ball, but early,
see him make bad choices in the pocket.
I don't know. Early in his career, Peyton Manning was, and remember, this is still his third year, Justin Herbert's third year, so he's very, very young in his career. But in his second year, he threw 5,000 yards, 35 touchdowns, and to throw 5,000 yards is pretty hard. I know they added that 17th game in there, so it definitely helps, but this year, he's already on pace to do that again. He's already over 600 yards again, and the one thing about his deep ball, it is accurate. And if you remember early in Peyton Manning's career, him playing with Marvin Harrison, that's the one thing he used to love to do, throw a deep to Marvin Harrison. And that's the one thing I'm seeing with him and Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert, that is. And I do think that his projection could be somebody like that, throwing a lot of yards, getting a lot of pass yards. If he gets over 5,000 yards in the next 5 to 10 years, then he's easily going to be a Hall of Famer. And even if he's ranging around that 400 or 4,500 range, which it looks like he can easily do. Like, as long as he stays healthy, that's the one big thing about him. I definitely think that he can easily average around 45 to 5,000 yards.
But that's the thing for me. Just being able to average over 4,000 yards a year doesn't make you a Hall of Famer for me. If he never wins no hardware, no rings, barely has 5 winning seasons, and throws for 4,500 yards for 10 straight years, I don't think that's a Hall of Fame career.
I'll agree with that, but I do think that this year they are gonna step it up, and I definitely think that they're gonna have a huge year. Honestly, this year the Chargers,
every year they have what they call an elite quarterback, top receivers, mm-hmm. one of the best running backs in the league, and every year they always blame everything on their defense. I don't believe it. you're making, that's what I said, for me, throwing for 4,500 yards but only winning 7 games is empty to me. That's empty stats.
Well, I mean, they won 9 games last year.
No, but I'm saying, but like on average,
and he won 5,000. He threw 5,000. So for me,
I'll give him average 7 to 8 games and 4,500 yards for his career every year.
I mean, I don't.
That's not. That, listen, I don't know. That's the projection you're using right now. That don't scream Hall of Fame.
I don't know, man. If you look at his second year of the league, that screams Hall of Fame easy. Just his second year in the league screams Hall of Fame by itself. A 5,000 yard season. Look how many quarterbacks have had 5,000 yard season. Only like 10 in the history of the NFL. So but that right there, like.
But just because you throw for 5,000 yards in a season, I mean, that's, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback. You just said it. Only, they had an extra game.
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
And
that
they
definitely helps.
That extra game to it not definitely helps. To 5,000, but to break.
To break
500.
To break. Break 5,000.
As
yeah.
a record. Like, to me, that's not a Hall of Fame. Especially when you got to. You literally are set up with one of the best offenses in the league. And you're throwing for all those yards, and you're not winning games. That, to me, like, I understand it's a team sport, but that any other quarterback, they put so much emphasis on the quarterback wins or lose the game. Everyone blame Russell for not taking that last minute drive when it was fourth and something. The ball is in Justin Herbert's hands a lot, and those games that he lost or won, whether he threw for 5,000 yards, don't impress me because he wasn't always making the right decisions.
And here's the thing, though. I disagree with that, because last year, the one thing he was known for was those fourth quarter comebacks. And the reason why their team was really bad was because, if you remember, in the beginning of the season, they lost Nick Bosa in the beginning of the season, and their defense was totally collapsed after that. Everyone thought they were going to have a good season in the beginning, and I think they even lost Eckler in the middle of the season, around like game 6, until he came back right before the playoffs. And that was huge for them, though. And he still was able to go out there and throw for 5,000 yards. And I know that, you know, it doesn't really mean much that he won 9-8. But in that division, the Raiders made the playoffs. Kansas City made the playoffs last year. And they had very similar, the Raiders and the Chiefs were,
Chargers.
The Raiders and the Chargers were fighting for that last spot up, like, to the last game of the season. And just because, you know, the tiebreaker, the Raiders were able to get that spot. So it could have been the Chargers that went to the playoffs instead of them. You know, it was very close in that playoff spot. But this year, you see what they did to the Raiders already in the first game. And even in the Chiefs game, I mean, it still looked like a close game. I know they lost it at the end, and they kind of made some blunders at the end. And obviously, Justin Herbert was a little bit hurt, so he didn't look like he can come back in that game. But they still played pretty good against the Chiefs. So they had two tough games, and they came out pretty even with these teams.
But see, that's my point. That's why he's getting so much hype, because out of the 9 games he won last year, he probably made 3 fourth quarter comebacks, and now they consider him more than, like, no, you and your team is still average.
Justin Herbert is
just above average quarterback. He's 100% top 10, but he's not even top 5.
Yeah, but top 10 is not average. Average is like lower than 15, and
well,
15,
there's
30
starting
quarterbacks, 15 to 20 is average.
And that's what I said. He's average, so I'll give him top 10.
Some but that's people, not average, though. That's top tier.
That's not.
It is the top 33%.
I just said he's top 10 to me, but not top 5.
That's what
so
I mean.
Clearly, top tier is top 5.
Well, no, top 10 is top 33% of quarterbacks.
And that's
top
average.
Tier. That's not average. Average is 50%. Like 50% is in the
you're
middle.
You're literally giving me 4 more quarterbacks. It's a league of
4-32. To 5. That's a big swing.
But I told you where I put him. I put him between 9 to 12.
Oh wow!
That's average.
So you put him
me.
There. Okay,
and
I thought
barely.
You
that's what I'm saying. He's not.
I thought
even,
you put him between
six.
5 and 10.
No,
okay, all right.
Barely. That's what I'm saying. Barely.
See, I got him. I got him 6 right now. That's where I got him in my quarterback. Yeah. I got
Brady, Rodgers,
Mahomes, Jackson. I got up there.
I'll take
Allen.
Jackson. Allen, that's
and then
five.
That's where I got him after. I got him 6.
I don't. I still put Russell Wilson over him.
I wouldn't. Not the way he's been looking.
And that's
throwing,
what I'm saying.
Throwing 145 yards and 20 passes.
And you take in one game, I can pull up Justin Herbert's worst game of his career and give you stats like that, too. That's what I'm saying. Justin Herbert's never excelled at anything.
His arm, we just talked about his arm strength, where it's one of the best in the league. And Josh Allen have comparable arm strength. That's huge.
But it's not winning him games, so that's what I mean. He's not excelling on the football field. He's not actually doing anything. It is winning him games.
Like they,
you're like having an arm. Like, bro, Joe Flacco had one of the best arms in the league for how many years? No one cared because he wasn't doing anything.
Joe Flacco was not as accurate as Herbert, and he did not have the mobility that Herbert has.
But I'm talking about just the arm strength. Okay. Flacco just was touted strength. For his arm strength, but that didn't mean anything.
He's still a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And that's what I said.
And he needed more than just arm strength.
Okay, and that's literally what I just talked about with Justin Herbert. Because Nick Bosa was out last year, now they have him back. Now they got Austin Eckler back. As long as they can get that offense up and running now with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, I think he's going to step it up this year.
And that's fine, but they never once got that offense up and running. That's my whole point. Everyone is... The reason why we ask the question on what his potential is, because everyone's judging him now based off his potential.
He's only in his third year.
Exactly. And right now, he's just above average.
How so? When last year, he had an incredible year. He had a historic year last year.
And his team went 9-8, and they didn't do anything in the playoffs. That's like you can't – y'all put those team records or, like, y'all hold those other quarterbacks. That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone keeps giving him a pass for his horrible team and his losing record.
So you're giving it just wins and losses, because we just talked about Joe Flacco, and you just talked about that he had nothing else other than his arm strength, but he still had his team to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So yeah, did he do nothing, something or
amazing
nothing?
Amazing defense, a lot of help, a good running game.
Right, so you're
the Chargers don't even have
but you're taking into account Joe Flacco's wins, but not Justin Herbert's, like, wins like
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, so that don't make sense.
It does, because not only is that Ravens team was better, Joe Flacco was a more experienced quarterback. Not only is
this
Charger team not prepared, even if they somehow got to the Super Bowl, Justin Herbert's not the guy to win it.
Oh, see, I disagree.
Neither
there.
Justin Herbert nor the team are where everyone is putting them at.
I disagree.
The team is average. They have an above average offense, but that's it.
I disagree. I think that now their defense is actually stacked. They actually got Bosa back. Not at all. Not at all average. You're going to see this year. They're going to.
Everything is you're going to see. I'm going based off what we saw.
Let's talk about what we saw. They just played two of the hottest teams in the NFL, the Raiders and the Chiefs. Two teams that people thought in the beginning of the year that
the Raiders weren't the hottest team in it.
Bro, yes, they were. They just had the best wide receiver just went to their team. They were one of the hottest teams into the season.
They had one of the hottest acquisitions, but had question marks on what the Raiders were going to do, what their new identity was going to be, how just Derek Carr and Josh Jacobs.
They just made it to the conference finals. The NFC, not the...
But
excuse
we just
me.
Had a
the
whole
AFC conference
last
game
week about how they struggled and how no one really knows what to expect from them this year. That we expect them to be a little bit over average. But you can't say that they're one of the hottest teams. Like the Raiders were not one of the hottest teams coming into this year. The Bills.
I mean, come on.
The Bills.
The Bills are
the
definitely
Chiefs,
the Bills are definitely. But remember,
the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Like, if you want to talk about that,
they're some of the hottest teams.
No, the Rams actually moved down to sixth in the playoff odds. If the Super Bowl odds actually had the Raiders third. If you remember, in the beginning of the year, they had him third to win a Super Bowl. So that's pretty high up, if you ask me. They already made the playoffs last year. They made the AFC conference game last year. This year, they got one of the hottest wide receivers to go along with that offense. They just got, obviously, Josh Jacobs back. I think a lot of people were talking about him, and even a lot of people were saying that they were going to be either the winner of this division or second. And I didn't have that. I still got Chargers winning this division, and you see them right now. The Raiders are 0-2. The Chiefs are obviously the top dog still, but even the Chiefs played a tough game against the Chargers, and they almost lost to the Chargers. It took them a final drive to win against the Chargers. So you see how close the Chargers are. And
watch, in the next 3 weeks, watch when the Chargers lose a game against a team they shouldn't have lost. Then what you're going to say, I understand what you're trying to say, but just 2 weeks of barely losing to a good team, once again, is not going to impress me. To just put that team
that's definitely if just, that happens
the
if they
Bills
lose
right
to
now went 2-0 scoring
destroying.
Ridiculous amount of points.
Sure.
I give them one loss to the damn Jets this year. Like I'm waiting for that to happen.
I mean I don't know. They got a few tough games actually. They do. They got a few tough games
so for
this
me,
year. I think
them
the Bills
barely
do.
Winning against the Chiefs, who look like they played like shit, doesn't impress me.
But that's what I'm saying. Look at their division now. The Broncos are doing bad. The Raiders are doing bad.
We're two weeks in.
But
we just talked about the Bengals doing bad, and we still expect them to go to the
And
playoffs.
The only offense that looks really amazing is obviously the Chiefs, but really the Chargers looks amazing in the AFC. other than the Bills. Three offenses right there.
But as I'm saying, like, I'm not trying to judge any teams that being amazing right now. Because, like, even then, the Bills about to look amazing next week against the Dolphins and all their weak NFC or AFC East teams.
I could agree, but I mean,
I'm going based off the last two full seasons, which were average.
All right. Let's look moving forward.
He's going to be above average. But not as hyped up as y'all keep putting him.
So let me tell you the next four games then, and I'll tell you if
Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers next four, and if they go 2-2, then I will agree with you.
And that's average.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So this is their next four games. They're going to the Jags. I'm sorry, they're playing at home with the Jags. Then they got the Texans, then the Browns, and then the Broncos.
They're losing too.
So I don't think so. I think they're at least going 3-1. At least 3-1. So in 4 weeks, we should definitely come back to this topic and remember this conversation and come back to this. Because
if they're 3-3,
yes, then they're in trouble. But if they're 4-2 or better, which I think that they could possibly win all these games, these look like easy games to them. Honestly, these look like easy wins. The next four,
I don't think anything looked like an easy win in the Chargers.
Okay.
Because they haven't shown me an easy one yet.
But they played two of the best teams in NFL. I'm telling you, like, these two teams were supposed to be two of the best. The Raiders and the Chiefs are supposed to be, like, two of the top dogs.
You got an average Raiders team that, like, yes, you can't, they added a receiver, but, like, they were average last year. They didn't do anything extra.
How were they average when they were, like, one of the last four teams in the, I'm sorry, one of the last, eight teams, right? Yeah, they're one of the last eight teams in the NFL for the championship. How was that average?
So if there's 16 teams that make it to the NFL and you're at the bottom two, you're average.
No, the top 14 make it, right? And then.
Yeah, it's 14.
The top 14 make the playoffs and then they made the next round. So the top eight, they made a top eight. So that's not average at all. They made the playoffs and they won a game.
What was their winning record?
They were literally 9-8, just like the Chargers. They had a chance. It was literally a tiebreaker between them and the Chargers, so the Chargers could have been in the playoffs instead of them.
Yeah, and both of those teams were average to me. No one expected the Raiders to do anything but maybe win one game.
But that's what they did.
And that's the thing. So when
but
I'm
that's not
about average,
though, bro. Like thing, that average is not making the playoffs and just being 800 or lower.
Is, and that's my point. Like, the bottom barrel of the NFL is so far below. I don't consider the worst teams to be average.
Well, bottom barrel is bottom 10 is to me. That's the bottom barrel.
And that's fine. So to me,
average is 10 to 20. That's my average.
But when we're talking about playoff teams and contenders, any team that's going 9-8 making a first round exit in the playoffs, I mean, is an average team.
That's happened before. Like look at the 49ers,
average team.
But they made the Super Bowl with that record.
And they were an average team.
They made and which is I'm why just they saying lost that the you Super just Bowl. You just said that you know, any team like that is not going to make the Super Bowl, but they did. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the day when they made it with that record. They won the Super Bowl, Big Ben.
But we're talking about teams that didn't make the Super Bowls. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying it can happen. A team with that record can win a Super Bowl easily.
I mean, at the end of the day, in any sport, the 8th seed or the 16th
seed.
Not
in basketball. I don't agree in the basketball. I haven't seen an 8th seed win in at least 20, 30 years.
You've never seen the last place in NFL win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you have.
The 49ers weren't last place.
They didn't win a Super Bowl.
They won their division.
Pittsburgh Steelers were. And then there was also
a wild card. Give me a wild card.
A wild card did just win, like, just recently in the last 5 years. A wild card did just win. But the one that I'm remembering is the Pittsburgh Steelers because they were comparing that team to the wild card Pittsburgh Steelers that won at 9-7. Remember, this was before they had the weeks at 17 and they had only 16 weeks. So they were 9-7 when they went in Pittsburgh. I think this was 2004 and they won with Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, okay.
One happened like in the last 5 years.
So, but I'm going to tell you these teams that won and you tell me
what the difference is.
But you tell me what they have. 2020 Bucks.
Okay. Yeah.
Hall of Fame
wild
quarterback.
Wow. That means nothing to me. Because Justin Herbert will be that in the
future.
But
they already had a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I feel you. I feel you. Okay, I feel you.
2011, Green Bay Packers already had
Hall of Fame. Yeah, but he wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback at the time. Remember,
2011, that was
come on now.
That was his prime.
That was the first Super Bowl he won.
Yeah, and everyone knew what he was at that point.
Nah, because
you're not
gonna
tell me 2011 he won a Super Bowl that he wasn't already considered. Like that was a year he literally won his Super Bowl. You're not gonna tell me that no one was considering him already to be.
He was considering one of not a Hall of Fame at that point, but definitely one of the best in the NFL at that point.
But at this point, we already know that he already moved to that Hall of Fame. Exactly. Before that, the Giants, say what you want, Eli Manning.
Come on. And you want to compare Eli to Herbert? I think Eli and Herbert could have very similar, if not Herbert could have a better career than Eli.
But that's the whole point. Everyone thinks, but he hasn't shown anything besides throwing a lot of yards. But Eli had a good arm, too. No one ever thought he was a Hall of Fame quarterback until he won a Super Bowl. So if you're telling me that's what Herbert is, then so that's what I'm telling you. If he never wins any hardware, he's not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Here's the thing, though. We're looking at this guy in his third year. Remember, do we think Josh Allen is a great quarterback? Do we think he's going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
He's only in his fourth year. He's literally done almost the same as Herbert. Literally, almost the same. If you look at his stats, career stats, look at that. Almost the same. And Josh Allen does have an extra year to Herbert, though.
If Josh Allen got picked up by the Jets instead of Sam Darnold, we would never be saying that Josh Allen would be a Hall of Famer. And that's what
a lot of it is the pro, a lot of it is right the system, the, for sure.
Where he's at in the Chargers, I think it's an average team with a just above average offense. Mm. And I don't think he's going to get, like, that's what I'm saying. If what I've seen from him in the Chargers team isn't me thinking, oh, they're just going to, like, no, they're just going to be
so,
average. And
like
I think
I
he's
going
to be average with them.
Like I said, we're going to have to see. And let me just bring back those games in because I forgot to give you the fifth game. Because just until their bye, they got to bye eighth week.
Right?
They got to bye in the eighth week. So this is their next five games. The Jaguars, the Texans, the Browns, the Broncos, and Seattle. So they could easily go 5-0 if they wanted to.
I think they're going 3-2.
Wow. I don't know. I think that they could do better. Especially they're going to need to because in this division, you know, they're going to need to do good.
Yeah.
If they want to keep up with the rest of the teams, like obviously Kansas City. But this is a good topic. We're definitely going to have to come back to this topic later.
At this point, we have to. I think we're going to just closely
judge the hell out of his
not even career, but this year. Every two games, like, see what I tell you, trash ass motherfucker.
All right. We can't do that, but I'm promising you, though, if he gets the MVP, though, you got to give it to me, though, because you were talking like he's trash or he's nothing.
I'm honestly just talking like he's average while everyone else is talking like he's above and he's prolific.
But
like I said, there's people, literally yesterday, the commentator during the Bills and Titan games literally mentioned that Josh Allen has just a little bit more to catch up to Herbert and Mahomes. Are you fucking kidding me?
Maybe they're talking about arm strength, like arm strength.
They were just talking about overall.
Probably overall. I don't agree with that.
I've heard that before, and that's what I'm like. Yeah. That's what I'm like. I want to have this conversation because what is their obsession with?
Yeah,
them?
I don't agree with that because I think right now in this moment, between week two and week three in NFL, Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
And truthfully, I want to agree, but for me, it's just Mahomes' hardware.
Yeah, yeah, but at this point, I still see the rushing that Josh Allen had.
Let Josh have another good year, a good playoff run, and a deep playoff run. After this year, there's no denying it. Even if you don't win the Super
quarterback,
Bowl, there's no denying it.
But honestly, if MVP goes to Justin Herbert, like I think it's gonna go, you got to give it to me, man, because that's a big if. Like a lot of people didn't see that coming.
Immensely surprised.
A lot of people didn't see, and I promise you, they're gonna do better than the Raiders this year. And I do think they're gonna be on par with the Chiefs, because if you remember, in our previous episode, we picked our you know, each division. I had them above the Chiefs. So we'll see, though. We'll come back to them for sure. And it's a great topic, though, to have. You know, it's a really, like, really interesting topic. And honestly, you know, going from one quarterback that was almost out, you know, Justin Herbert, you know, he almost went out week two, to another quarterback, Dak Prescott, that went out week one. It was a terrible injury by Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. They had a really tough time. And week two, they actually came back and, you know, it was a close game, and, you know, my man Cooper Rush came in for Dak Prescott. So, you know, talking about the Dallas Cowboys, what do you think is going to happen with them, and how far can the Dallas Cowboys go without Dak Prescott?
I think they can survive. They just have to really hone down on a lot of things. First things first, they need to just go back to what their strengths are. I understand you probably don't have the best offensive line in the game anymore. But at the end of the day, why you're not relying on your strengths when it comes to running back, receiver, and tight end makes no sense on offense. I know it seemed like last year with the new offensive coordinator, they were trying a lot of new things. But clearly it didn't work, I'll be honest. Ezekiel Elliott looks like he fell out of his heydays. But at the end of the day, clearly with Dak gone now, that's the one person they're going to have to lean on the most. Him and both, honestly, Pollard hasn't looked, neither one has looked up to par this year so far. I think Ezekiel was averaging 5.2 yards a game, 5.2 yards a carry.
Damn, that's pretty good.
Not this year.
But yeah, last year, I remember. Yeah, I remember.
And then Tony was good, only getting 1.3, but at that point, they were feeding him almost just as much. And he was finding the ones that broke away a little more, quite more often. Mm. But pretty much, we understand that they're facing injuries to linemen. Like I said, they don't have the best line anymore. But without Dak Prescott, they literally have no choice but to really push forward on finding a way to get Ezekiel Elliott going.
Right.
Defense, it's going to be rough. Obviously, we know they got Micah Parsons, our defensive rookie of the year.
Damn, you ain't going to bless me, homie? No,
I was waiting for the third one.
I know, right?
Then they still got Diggs. Obviously, he's shown improvement this year. But they're looking a little sloppy on defense. They run a real hybrid defense, try to push a lot of pressure. And truth be told, they actually like taking chances and being aggressive on the back end when it comes to their safety in the corner. So that's why Diggs really never gets in trouble for doing what he does, because it works out in the end. I'm pretty sure they just lost Curse for a few weeks, which was their linebacker slash end slash safety.
They lost him for 5 weeks. So.
And he was also their signal caller. Mm. He was the one making all the calls in the middle. So basically not having your most your smartest defender on the field in the middle of the field is going to be worrisome, like I said, especially because he was a nickel. He played linebacker. He necessarily didn't play. He did play safety. They threw him in safety sometimes.
Yeah, they
too.
Did.
So that is going to be a huge loss already with losing Dak for most of the season. So that's something I feel like they need to, obviously, next man up. A lot of rotations are going to need a lot of bodies in there to keep up with the pressure. But they need to get back on sacking the quarterback.
Right.
Really getting that pressure on that front seven. And obviously that comes with Micah Parsons, defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
I think last week he had two defensive stops that were crucial that Dallas couldn't capitalize on offense. And at this point, you can't have your best defensive player putting in fucking work for you
and not
being able to capitalize on it. Like, those are two crucial stops that were in the goal line.
Yep.
And their offense couldn't turn that into nothing. And that's worrisome, because at the end of the day, they're going to struggle, but they're already doing what they're supposed to do on defense and truthfully looking better than last year until
on defense
got injured.
Yeah.
Even last week, granted, it was a hybrid style defense that they played, but they definitely Diggs definitely did a good job blocking Jamar Chase.
Yes, he did. He definitely did. Especially in the first half, Jamar was having a tough time.
Exactly. So I think the defense isn't the biggest worry, even though, like I want to point out, they lost Curse for 5 weeks.
Yep.
But obviously on offense, they just really have to lean towards the running game. I'm blanking on his fucking name. Back up. Rush.
Rush. Yeah. Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush. I was like, who the hell's because I keep thinking of Mari Cooper.
Right.
So obviously Cooper Rush has to find a way to get going as well.
Yeah.
Because even though we all need and we want them to go towards Ezekiel Elliott, if you don't find a way to get CeeDee Lamb going, you're like the guy you basically let Amari go for, make sure you publicly stated he's your number one guy. He's gonna be that new guy. And he has been looking not even close to up to par for now. What, I think 11 targets.
Yeah.
I'm not reading that correctly. It says 29 yards.
No. He had 104 yards in the last two games.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Oh, okay. Got you. That's from Dak Prescott.
Gotcha.
So right off the bat, obviously that got injured. But
see, I was gonna say Cooper played pretty well. Cooper played pretty good with him in the second week of the season.
Cooper looks better, but right off the bat, if that first week, your 1-2 connection was not looking too good, and it was between both miscues, misdirections, bad throws. So
also missed catches. Two missed catches by T.D. Lamb. Big missed catches.
The whole offense looked in shambles, and I will give it to you. CeeDee Lamb looked a little better last week.
He did.
But at the end of the day, he's now the main guy getting double team, getting all those coverages. He needs to be a lot more consistent because they also got a lot of injuries right now when it comes to, I think, Michael Gallup and James Washington are still injured until at least mid-season.
Yep, that's very true.
So I need him to pick it up more. But other than that, one good thing I will say that allows me to have faith in them is their penalties.
Oh, yeah, low penalties this year.
They didn't have no penalties last week.
That's huge.
That's very huge. They were very undisciplined last year. I had the second most penalties in the league right behind the Raiders.
And not just that, the last 3 years, they've been like top three in the league in penalties.
So as long as they can lean in the run, find a way, and I know it's going to be hard to lean in the run, but also get CeeDee Lamb going, but that's how you have to do it.
Right.
You have to lean into the run, which will get CeeDee Lamb going, so they'll start loading the box. Defense is actually pretty solid. They just have to work on that discipline, which with the penalties, which look like they have been. And then obviously just make sure that your team just kind of can hold itself together until your injuries come back.
Right.
But basically, you know, the question is, like, can the Cowboys survive without Dak? I think they can.
Yeah.
Worst case, I still think they can make the playoffs.
Right, right. And, yeah, I mean, it's not a too tough of a division in NFC East. Right. But
the Eagles look like they look amazing. Right,
they look amazing, especially the offense. Like I said in the beginning of the season with the Eagles, best offensive line, best running game in the league, and they still do. But as far as the Cowboys, man, I'm going to have to agree with a lot of the things you said. And you brought up some great points, especially the running game has to step it up with Ezekiel Elliott. He needs to start doing what he was doing last year. That's a great point. I actually think that Cooper Rush played pretty well last week, surprisingly to me. I thought he was going to play a lot worse than he did. He was throwing the ball out to CeeDee Lamb pretty well. And he's actually got really good connection with Noah Brown, who's now their second receiver, who's got more receiving yards than CeeDee Lamb. He's got 150, where CeeDee Lamb's only got 109. So, you know, as of right now, it looks like the connection is with Cooper Rush and Noah Brown.
CeeDee Lamb is getting locked up.
Yeah, and that's a good thing for Noah Brown then. He's going to start getting those receiving yards.
Turning to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
But that's what I kept saying. Remember, we had not arguments, but debates.
Yeah, about CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like he's looking because they're giving the best coverage to Amari Cooper.
Yeah, but you got to give him time. Remember, this is his first year being alone, and plus he doesn't have a starting quarterback right now. And remember, in football, like especially when they're in practice, like the ones play with the ones, the twos with the twos, threes with the threes. So like Noah Brown's a number three receiver, so he's practicing with Cooper Rush pretty much every day.
Right.
You know, so they obviously have a way better connection than obviously CeeDee Lamb would have or Gallup. You know, because obviously those are the ones. So I always think that's a big thing in football. Because every time like a backup quarterback comes in, you always see like the third receiver always ball out, and you're like, damn, where did he come from? But it's just like they always had that connection. So I think that's just like a little bit of that bias, that backup bias of the quarterback. But as far as their defense, I gotta give it to them, man. Their defense has been playing incredible, and you saw that against Cincinnati. They played really amazing, and you said it best, man. Micah Parsons, I think he's defensive player of the year so far right now. He has the most tackles for loss and the most sacks this year so far. He's got 4 sacks, which is amazing. I think
two games.
Yeah, and just doing this coming from what he was doing last year, almost being up there for defensive player of the year last year, close to it. I think he was like 4th. But still, like, the man is like a beast. I think that he's definitely going to be up there for defensive player of the year at the end of the year, possibly alongside with the guy who I had. I think I had Bosa, actually, but Nick Bosa for 49ers.
Right, right.
Yeah, not for Chargers. But anyways, I think that Dallas is going to actually play pretty well, because I was very surprised with Cooper Rush. I really expected him to play worse than he did, and he actually played pretty good. I do agree with you that their running game is going to need to step it up, but honestly, like, if you're looking at just who they're playing and who they're matching up next, yeah, they got the Giants who are 2-2, but do we really believe the Giants are 2-2 from who they played? You know, like,
Saquon's,
I don't think
been looking real good.
Saquon has been, but you know, we'll see what happens with the Giants. But
the Giants to win week one or week two.
That's true. Nobody did at all, but they did it. But maybe week two, because they did play Houston. But I mean, I think that most people expect Dak Prescott to come back either week 8, which would be Chicago, or he's going to stay out until the bye week and come back week 10, which is Green Bay. So let's say that he's out until the bye week. They probably got like another 6 weeks. 6 weeks with Cooper Rush. And they got to play the Giants, Washington Commanders, the Rams, the Eagles, the Lions and Chicago. And honestly, I could easily see them going 3-3 and possibly
4-2.
2-4 to me, man, honestly. 2-4. I think they could lose some of these games. I don't think
they said 2-4?
Yeah. Yeah, remember, the Giants are 2-0 for a reason. Like you said, Saquon Barkley's playing amazing. Their running game is really well, and they actually have three really good receivers right now that are playing good with Daniel Jones right now.
I'm confused. Do you think they're in trouble or not? Because you just got them going, like, basically 2-6 before Dak comes back.
Not 2-6.
What? Well, 4-5 before Dak comes back?
Well, they'll be 4-3, yeah, right? Yeah.
They said week 10. And that's, what, 8 games?
But they would play 6 games left. So they got, you know, week 3 through 8 and then 9 game they got to bye. So they got 6 games left with Cooper Rush.
So you think 2-4. So you literally think
most likely,
be
no, I'll be
three
honest. 3-3 is my most likely scenario, which would make them 4-4.
Right.
Going in with Dak. That's my most likely scenario. But and the losses I have are the Rams week 5, the Eagles week 6, and the Lions week 7. Those are the losses I got.
You got them losing to the Lions?
To the Lions, I do. I think the Lions
you
are actually...
You watch too much Hard Knocks this year. I swear, bro.
And you might be right there.
No, because you've been linking them in for the last couple episodes. Like, yeah. I really think the... Like, bro.
Yeah, but what did I say about Amon-Ra St. Brown last week?
Yeah, he had a game.
Yo, I told you about him. Told you about my man. No, I do think the Lions are going to be unexpected this year, but... I just think that they play tough, especially on defense. Yes. And if their defense is tough against Cooper Rush, he's going to have a tough time throwing. Remember, the Cincinnati defense is not the best, especially their secondary is not that great. So that's the reason that he was able to really throw it out there to his guys. I think that he's going to have a lot more trouble with guys like the Rams and especially the Lions as well. Honestly, even Washington. Washington has a really tough defense as well. Maybe it'll be tough games, but... I think every game they do have a chance to win other than those three that I said. You know, the Rams, the Eagles, and Detroit Lions. So 3-3 is my projection in the next 6. What do you think, though, in like the next 6 weeks? What do you project?
I would say 3-3, but for me, that 3-3 is worse case scenario.
That's worse. Okay, yeah, so you think 4-2
maybe?
Maybe
4-2.
Wow. So you're giving a lot of praise to Cooper Rush, though, because 4-2 is pretty good.
I just think if the rest of the team could put it together, I think they'll lose to the Eagles, lose to the Rams. And they could
win the rest. Yeah, that's
they could win the rest. Not that they will, mm-hmm. but I can see the potential of them winning the rest.
See, I just expect Cooper Rush to make some mistakes.
But I'm not impressed by the Bears at any point.
Me neither. I'm not impressed by them.
Nothing they're doing.
I'm not impressed by
Detroit Lions. Eh. If anything, I'll give that third game to one of the
Washington
Giants.
Or Giants. Yeah. Because they both got pretty good defenses and
division games.
Yeah, the toughest for sure. But I mean, even if you look at it that way, then they could lose both of these division games. They can go on and lose the next three. That'll make them 0-5 for the next 5 games.
At that point, just let Dak stay out.
Cooper Rush, like, don't get it twisted. Like, Cooper Rush is a decent player. Yeah, he's 2-0 in his starting in the starting lineup when he starts a game. But he started one last year and one this year. But do you really like? You don't expect him to play this well the rest of the games. He's going to make mistakes. He's a young quarterback. They're going to figure him out. They don't have tape on him yet. Once they do, they'll figure him out. And you'll see him start to make errant throws and double coverage where he's not supposed to. A lot more turnovers are going to happen, and Dallas is going to be playing from behind a lot more.
For sure. I agree with you.
That's what I think with them. But it's going to be definitely interesting to see what happens with them towards the end of the season because – like you just said, like if they do bad, are they going to keep Dak out?
And at that point, how long does he have left?
I mean, supposedly on his contract, he's got a while. He's got a while.
They might
want
to keep him out for the rest of this year because I think he got like 2-3 more years left.
Yeah, he's good.
They paid him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So either way, man, we're praying for the Cowboys. That's all. Ray, we're praying for you and your boys, man.
I don't know if I am, yo. Nah, I like them boys. I like them boys too.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know why people actually hate the Cowboys. Like, I don't mind them. Now,
it's just their fans, bro.
But that's the same. But you know what it is? I feel the same way about the Bills.
I love the Bills.
Yeah. I can't stand their fans.
Oh, they're on the same boat. They haven't won anything in 30 years. So just like the Bills and the Cowboys, they haven't won anything in 30 years.
Thinking there's something, just running their mouth. Hanging on to the Cowboys hang on to their few rings and the Bills hang on to their few Super Bowl losses.
That's true. But speaking of the Bills, though, like you want to let's talk about them real quick and going on to next week, going on to the third week of the season. Yeah. Since we just did a little preview of the second week of the season, we're going to transition over.
Who you got, baby?
Yeah, who you got? Real quick, the Bills and the Dolphins game. The Bills are going down to Miami this week, and it's going to be a tough game. They're both 2-2. Obviously, you saw what two and oh, and you saw what Miami did to Baltimore.
Aren't they the only ones left?
No, there's three 2-0 teams. You got the Chiefs as well out there.
Okay, so the only ones playing each other.
Yeah, gotcha. And honestly, like the Miami Dolphins had an amazing game against the Ravens last week, came back and won, in an incredible win with Tua had 6 touchdowns. Obviously, you saw what the Bills have been doing. They've been really tearing up the league the last 2 weeks. They look like the top dog in the NFL, but what do you expect from Miami and Buffalo this week?
So first week, Miami came away with a win, but played a very bad offense, but a good defense. Second week, walked away with a win, played a very bad defense, good offense. The fuck you gonna do when Buffalo shows up? They don't have both.
They got both good defense
and
good offense.
Prolific defense, prolific offense, and quite frankly, from what I've seen from the 2 games I watched this season, even the fucking special teams is good. Do you see how many turnovers they had against the Titans? Like, all three facets of the ball, they're looking prolific. And right now, I know Miami's feeling themselves. You got a couple of elite, you know, receivers on one on each end. Both got 2 touchdowns, 170. But the Bills secondary is about to have a fucking field day picking off dumbass throws that the Tua's going to throw because Von Miller's in his fucking face.
Yeah.
So I can't wait till the game. I'm going to be there Sunday watching it. It's been hard because I keep telling myself I'm trying to root for the Bills this year. Mm. Hometown team, all my friends and family are Bills fans.
Yep.
First week it was hard because I had Matthew Stafford on my team, on my fantasy team. So it was really hard to root for the Bills when this motherfucker is throwing a pick to everyone in blue. This week, still hard because I had Derrick Henry.
Damn. You wanted him to do good.
I want the Bills to win, right. But stop stopping my players.
Like, damn, every time I'm playing somebody, I got to play him?
Every time. This week, I have Tyreek Hill in a few leagues, but not like the one. Because the one I'm playing is we're all basically watching the game together. So like, against my homegirl next to me or playing against my homeboy. So that league is the one where like we really kind of keep with each other. No one's playing the Bills this week, so I get to enjoy the game.
You get to just enjoy it without having to worry about somebody going off.
Every time Josh Allen threw a touchdown, everyone's around me cheering, and like I'm just sitting there with a salty face because the person I'm playing, not only do I have Derrick Henry, she has Josh Allen in the Bills defense. And I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
Every time. That's wild.
So I am excited to watch this game. I do hope it's going to be a competitive game. But I do definitely think the Bills are going to walk away with the win. And truthfully, while Miami does have a way more explosive offense than the Bills had to face this season, it's weird because you would think the Rams have a more explosive offense, but without anyone next to Cooper Kupp.
Allen Robinson wasn't playing.
Explosiveness. So the Bills will have to deal with explosiveness coming out of Miami, and that will be different. But goddamn, Von Miller pickup really just seems to be paying off so far. And that was a big reason why Derrick Henry couldn't get going yesterday. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a spanking. And with the Miami defense, I'm not even going to lie. I want to say 35 plus.
Wow.
Because for me, for them to drop 40 on the Titans defense, I can easily see them dropping 40 on Miami.
Okay.
Especially if they're going back and forth.
Yeah, they're going back and forth.
To us, like, you know.
But so you think it's going to be a spanking or you think it's going to be a close game?
Close game in the first half.
Okay, and then they're going to pull it off away. Like what? Yeah. By like 15, 20?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So Bills by 20.
Just like it the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Rams, they pulled it off.
Rams and Bills close in the first half. Mm. I think tied.
Well, Titans wasn't that close last, you know, the 10, week 2. 7
halftime.
Yeah. Literally. So it was pretty close.
It was kind of close. Or I think they might have the Bills might have 14. Scored. I think the Bills might have 14, scored right before.
Yeah. Or 17-7. Like,
they scored right before. But even then, that's still not a bag. It's a 10-point game.
True.
Now you're getting blown out by 30.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Definitely.
So, and it's the second half. The Bills, like, they don't take their foot off the gas pedal.
No, especially this year, it doesn't look like they are.
Because they know their mistakes. This is why I backed them to go to Super Bowl this year. I finally think they're past those growing pains. to where, like, now, granted, I'm still talking to all my Bills fans. Like, they're going to give up a game to the Jets or
oh, they will. To the Patriots. They do that all the time.
The Jaguars.
They like, do that all the time.
They are. But this year, I do think that they finally got past that perennial hump where they're beating themselves.
Right. So, yeah. No, I totally agree with a lot of things you said, except the finale.
Final score. Yeah.
I don't agree it's going to be a spanking. I think it's going to be a close game. And just because, you know, they are playing an explosive offense, probably one of the fastest offenses in the NFL. I do think that the Bills secondary is going to have a good game, though. Like you said, I think that Tua is going to throw some errant throws, and he's probably going to have a few picks. Micah Hyde is probably going to get one. And I do expect, you know, both offenses to go off, though. You know, both offenses have their, you know, their explosiveness there. You know, obviously Diggs can really go off at any point, and Waddle and Tyreek Hill can really go off at any point for Miami. But I think I expect this game to be in the high 30s as well. But I'm saying like 35 to 31, and I do expect the Bills to win it.
I think it's going to be like 40-something. Like, I'll probably tell you what. We'll go 42 to 28.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good score.
It's not a bad score.
Like, no, not at all. That's, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's two touchdowns. But I definitely agree with your points about the defense. I think Von Miller has been paying off this year, honestly, out of nowhere.
Everyone talking about he was playing, too old. Like, I said that. I did too.
Bro, I said that he wasn't worth his contract. I was happy that they got rid of him in the Rams. And the Rams are my favorite team, but I am wearing the Bills right now. I got to give them some praise. You know, I do expect them to win this game.
If he play the way he's been playing the rest of the season, Von Miller already made his money's worth of his whole contract.
Nah, I don't agree with that. That's a four-year contract. Nah.
He plays how he's playing.
Nah, he's not playing worth $80
million. That was their only missing Super Bowl piece.
If they win a Super Bowl and he's a big piece for them, then possibly.
But that's my whole thing. If he plays how he's playing,
yeah.
They're winning a Super Bowl.
Gotcha. If they win that Super Bowl, then yeah. But if they don't, then I don't think so.
They finally, they just need they need White back.
Right. Travis White, yeah.
The secondary's looking phenomenal this
year. Micah Hyde's playing amazing, for sure.
Also Pryor.
Yeah, Pryor, yeah.
Linebackers are looking good. Freaking mm-hmm. One of them got a...
Tremaine Edmonds balled out, got a stop, got a fumble
who's
yesterday.
The one that got the pick six?
I think that was Tremaine Edmonds, wasn't
no,
it?
His name is...
No, like, never mind. But
Matono, Makono, or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Actually, I really don't know his name.
That's right.
I keep forgetting.
I do remember that. Yeah, I remember him saying that.
Yeah.
I remember him saying that, McCollum or something.
And then obviously just having Von Miller on that line just pretty much seals the deal.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I expect them to win, like I said. I do think it's going to be a closer game, though. I think it's going to be a one touchdown game. But either way, it's going to be close, for sure, for me. For you, not so much. You think that the Bills are definitely, like, top dog. I just I see them that they play two far easier teams than the Dolphins played, and I just expect the Dolphins to be ready for them. And I do think that the Dolphins have some offensive schemes that are not everyone can really expect.
It's Milano.
Matt Milano, was
Matt
it?
Milano.
Okay,
that's
what
got a pick six.
Okay, yeah, nice. Matt Milano got a pick six. Good for him.
Yeah, he's but either beast. Way, we expect the Bills to walk away 3-0.
Yeah, for sure. Both of us do. But going on to the next one, a lot of people didn't expect this team to do as well as they're doing. I mean, the Browns, yeah, they lost last week to the Jets, but, you know, they're 1-1 with a backup quarterback right now, Brissett. And then you got another side, the Steelers, who got Mitch Trubisky, and people in Pittsburgh are yelling, Kenny Pickett. So what do you expect from the Steelers and the Browns this week?
So this game is crazy because both teams are 1-1 for very different reasons. Cleveland looked like on the verge of being 2-0.
Yeah.
Gave up a heartbreak with less than 2 minutes left to the Jets. And on the other end, Pittsburgh's offense looked literally lifeless. Literally lifeless. So obviously you said it, the crowd is pulling out their pitchforks, calling for Trubisky's head. They all want Kenny Pickett in. Pretty much, I don't expect Trubisky to last long. I never thought he was going to be that guy anyways.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, sometimes it is a little better to go after the maybe 2-3 year seasoned vet that know a little bit more about the speed of the NFL than the rookie fresh out of college.
Right.
But he's not really showing that he's actually, you know, doing anything.
Right.
Cleveland, obviously, Lawrence know what that locker room was looking like after that debacle against the Jets. Literally 30-17 with less than 2 minutes left.
Crazy, bro. Crazy.
I honestly, like, obviously, it was 99.9. So it's a fact that we've never seen nothing like that.
I mean, yeah, it was a 0.001% chance that the Jets were going to win.
Yeah.
All that Cleveland needed to do was, like you said earlier in the episode, Chubb needed to, instead of going in for the touchdown, literally fall down in the 1 yard line, and they would have won the game right there. And then three kneel downs, they would have won the game, because the first down was right in between the 2 yard line and the goal line. So he had that spot.
You can't blame him for that.
Not at all. That's why I said before.
You can't blame your defense for giving up.
No,
two
but
touchdowns in less than 2 minutes.
But I'm just giving you the how they could have won.
What they do as soon as that what happened. Oh well, if Nick Chubb would have not scored,
right,
they would have kneeled. What realistically, what football team is going to do that?
See,
with a 30
like I said,
to
no, they do that a lot. They do that when
30
it's
to 17 when you're right outside.
No, no.
End zone.
Here's the thing.
I'm first. Like, you're not even struggling against.
Well, it wasn't 30 to 17. They were only up by one touchdown. But teams will do that if you're at the 50 yard line.
When he scored,
if you're at the 50 yard line, they will go in and just get a first down to go and kneel it. You know, they're not going to score it. Like, even if you have that open space, I've seen running backs go down and stop the clock. Keep the clock going. You know, instead of going in.
So I'm not even going to front. Not with one score.
There was a Devontae.
Like, I've never seen a football team only be ahead by one touchdown.
No, I have.
And decide not to score.
No, that's Devontae Freeman a few years ago. Like, this was a big play. Devontae Freeman and the Falcons were winning, and they were up by one score, and he literally had an open field. They were on the 40-yard line. He had an open field to go inside and get a touchdown, and he just went down on the 20-yard line because he knew that the time was going to expire and they were going to kneel it if they had a chance. And that's happened a lot.
No, but there's never been. I've never seen a team be that close to the end zone, only up by a touchdown, with less than 2 minutes.
Oh,
left,
you mean like
decide
that?
Decide to be like, let's not score. A better choice.
Got you.
No, because with less than 2 minutes left,
that's what
up
I mean. No,
one,
that's where I agree with you.
The best decision is to score and be up by two.
That's where I totally agree. Like, that's why I was saying that this would only work if they were in the 50-yard line, way farther back, and you got yards.
That close to the end zone,
you got to score. Nah,
you
got
to
score at that point.
So, yeah, it was ridiculous.
And crazy offensive, kick by the Jets. I mean, they did get, onside kick, just to get that ball back. So that was a little bit of luck, too.
Special team, defense.
Yeah, and luck.
Like that's so many. Like, sure. You can't even blame the offense for doing what they're supposed to do, put points on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but obviously that's the one thing everyone's going to look at. So going into the Steelers versus Brown game, we got to talk about who you got.
Right.
We already know what's going to happen. Steelers are going to play like shit. Browns are going to use they're averaging over 55% usage on just Hunt and Chubb.
Running backs,
they're
baby.
Gonna
running
run
backs. They're
going to run the ball. Steelers, while they have that, that curtain, iron defense, like it's not there.
They're missing TJ Watt.
They just lost TJ. That middle is, that front seven is not what it's supposed to be. So I definitely expect the Browns to try to just run through it. But I will be honest, it's hard to judge this game.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, like, the Browns could not do well.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen
that's
them
for sure, yo.
I've seen them have these two running backs with no quarterback for 2 years now. Even last year, there were certain games where they
Damn, you calling Baker Mayfield no quarterback.
No, but you know how I felt about this, man. I've been trying to send his ass to the fucking.
He should have been in the C League, yo.
Bro, he should have been in the CFL 2 years ago. Jordan Johnny Manziel.
Damn. Leave my man Johnny out of this.
I'm sorry to disrespect Johnny like that. I didn't mean to disrespect you like
just
that.
Playing. Just playing.
But yeah, no, so I think the Browns are going to try to run the ball, dominate time of possession, and pretty much offer no sense of urgency when it comes to just moving the ball, because that's all they have really left.
That's
to
all
do.
They got. Yeah.
Steelers, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Mm-hmm. At this point, no one even knows is Kenny Pickett starting. Najee Harris still has been wobbling off that injury, not 100%. And yeah, obviously they got a decent receiver as well, but if you don't got no one throwing the ball, you ain't got nothing to do. And then, obviously, TJ Watt missing in that front line is rough. So I actually really wanted to choose the Steelers to win this one. And I think I did up until right now.
Damn. Wow.
But then I realized with the Browns rushing attack.
Yeah.
I just don't see how the Steelers could stop it. Mm-hmm. And with the Steelers showing us nothing good, I don't know. So I wanted to have it 24-21 Steelers, but I'm actually going to have it 24-21 Browns.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, just talked myself.
I know you talked yourself into it. Sounds like, yeah.
I wrote this down before, though.
Damn.
And picked the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And I just rewrote it.
It sounds like.
Read it. And I'm like, wait, that don't sound right.
It sounds like because you're looking at the Pittsburgh offense that you don't trust that they can put up points really on the board.
That's the problem. The defense might hold itself down. But really thinking about it, like looking at those last 2 weeks, literally Najee Harris hasn't even looked like.
Nah, he's looked terrible. I mean, he only had 72 yards the whole season so far, 2 games, terrible. I know, but still that's bad. And Mitch hasn't looked great, you know, 150 yards each game in the last 2 games. That's why people are yelling for Kenny
he
Pickett
can't
out there.
He can't get the ball downfield.
Exactly, and they actually have a weapon downfield. Deontay
That's
Johnson
what I'm saying.
Is
they
a
got
beast.
A good receiver, but they can't get it to him.
It's crazy how many skilled players they actually have, but they just can't get it to them. Like that's what's surprising to me. And you might be right. It might be time for Kenny Pickett to go out there. I think as of right now, they're still going towards Trubisky.
They have to.
And I think it's going to be like that for the next 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah,
exactly.
They got a few. What we'll call, like, you know, mediocre games. Like, obviously, this one with the Browns, and next up, they got the Jets. So, until they got week 5 with the Bills, I don't know. I don't even know if they want to put Kenny Pickett against the Bills because that's going to be a tough one. But, you know, as far as the Browns, the Browns have a really good front 7 as well, if you remember. Like, they got Myles Garrett still out there. And he's a
defense. Yeah.
He's a monster, too, out there. So, he can definitely go ahead and sack can sack Mitch Trubisky. And Mitch Trubisky has 6 sacks this year as well. And he had 5 last week. So, we'll see what that offensive line does for Pittsburgh. I just don't trust their offense, just like you. I think you made some great points. I think the Cleveland running attack is just monstrous right now, even though their passing attack might not be the best. Amari Cooper hasn't really been doing much over there. He needs to step it up a little bit for them. And they just haven't been throwing the ball deep downfield. Jacoby Brissett really hasn't throwing it downfield. But you see what Chubb's been doing.
Right.
Being a beast.
And
as obviously
you got
Hunt.
The best 1-2 punch in football, so you don't necessarily need to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
But when you got 2 run-centric teams that are both defense-minded.
Yep.
They're
True.
Basically the same exact team, except for one team has a weaker passing attack.
Yeah, definitely true. That's definitely true. And that's the Steelers.
I mean, yeah, the Browns
sure.
have a little bit better of a defense.
Yeah.
But then they, like, defensive-minded, run-centric, grit and grind, mm-hmm. let's play hard defense, run the ball down your throat. The only difference is one of them have a better passing attack.
Yeah. And see, I would have said that the Pittsburgh would have had a better defense if T.J. Watt was still there.
Yes.
If he was still there with Bush, with Devin Bush and T.J. Watt, and with Minkah Fitzpatrick, was one of my favorite
Especially
corners.
With the coaching.
Yeah, for sure. The
like
coaching,
having Tomlin on top of all that will definitely make that a better defense. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Definitely. I think that possibly Minkah Fitzpatrick will get an interception this week against Brissett, but I see this game being very defensive, and honestly, I see it being a low-scoring game, but a close game, but very low-scoring because both of these teams can't really score like that. Honestly, I got this one 17-10. I think it's going to be very low-scoring, yeah. So
yeah,
that's really what I got.
And 24-21 was a higher, but I just do think that Nick Chubb is actually going to have
himself. He could have a few touchdowns late, too.
He's going to have at least 2, and I think he's going to have a great game.
Yeah, he could, for sure. And I'm glad if he will, because I got him on most of my fantasy teams. Yo, he's been balling out for me.
I didn't pick him up.
Honestly, I had to. I knew he was going to be the...
I got Hunt. And that's the thing. I fucked up on other people, because, like, one league I got Zeke, and he's just not looking too good.
Right.
One league, I don't know what I didn't listen. Like, I knew that it wasn't a chance that he wasn't going to be all the way back to what he was, but I didn't think that Kareem Akers was going to be this fucking bad this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I picked him early in one of my leagues. So, like, there's a couple leagues where I passed by on fucking Chubbs.
Yeah, that's
so
all right.
I didn't
right.
get a chance to pick him up in any leagues this year.
I mean, there's a few running backs doing work this year, actually, surprisingly.
Yeah, I got
but
Taylor doing good.
Nice.
That's not looking too bad. Saquon looking good again.
I'm
happy about that because I was really iffy on picking him or Zeke again. Because of the injuries.
And speaking of Zeke and Saquon, they're actually got a big game this week. They're playing each other. Obviously, I'm talking about the Cowboys and the Giants.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we got a big Monday night game this week.
Ooh, that's a good matchup.
Week 3. Giants and Cowboys always play tough. Obviously, division game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we talked a lot about the Cowboys earlier with Cooper Rush and what they can do. And we did talk a little bit about the Giants. But what do you expect from this game?
So for that, and it's crazy because like I didn't even realize like the marquee matchup in running backs.
Right.
Until you
Seriously, right.
It. Like, damn, we really got Zeke and Saquon going against each other Monday night. So that should definitely be a good game. Obviously, Cowboys are trying to figure out life without Dak.
Yep.
While pretty much the Giants have been surprising everyone with their play so far, and a lot of that have to do with Saquon Barkley looking almost back to his full self. This game is going to be a game of third downs.
Yeah, and it's true.
It's very basically true. Not only is that sound right, but like there's legit, like it's statistical.
Yeah.
Like right now, Dallas is tied for worst in third down conversions.
Wow,
in
I didn't
the
know
league
that.
At 24%, while New York's defense is tied for best in third down conversion rate at 21%. So not only is Dallas already converting the worst at third down, they're about to face the best third down defense in the league. Damn. Granted, it's only 2 weeks in, but you know. So pretty much, this is a good game for Dallas. They actually do very well on the road.
Right.
This game is in New York.
Right.
And they actually, I think, went 8-0 or 9-0 in the last like couple years just against the Giants alone. So
Damn.
History should have Cowboys looking, you know, for this win. But obviously, without Dak Prescott, you know, you kind of don't know what to expect. And obviously, like I said, the Giants have actually been playing real good at 2-0. So obviously, we're going to need to see some, everything we said earlier. We need to see some rushing from Ezekiel.
That's for sure.
We need to see some good passing attempts from Rush. Obviously, try to get the ball to CeeDee. But the thing is, besides Saquon on the other end, I don't see nothing else. Like, I know they won two games and it was surprising, but they don't really have much to talk about. Because even when it comes to that offense, Saquon is basically the only one that's been getting any volume
exactly
in the first 2 weeks to begin with.
As far as volume, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just not even, like, rushing. He's also pretty much getting a...
He's in the passing game, yeah.
Yeah, I would say
he's
nine catches for 46 yards. And nine catches in two games is actually pretty high for that Giants team.
It's huge, yeah.
Who's not getting that much passes off. So, yeah, so for him to already be, obviously, the top rusher, top three in receptions, pretty much it looks like he's going back to being that workhorse that he was. So for that, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game as well because both teams are going to try to run it.
Yep.
Obviously, both teams have a lot of question marks going into this game. Why are the Giants 2-0? Will they finally lose? can the Cowboys actually win without Cooper Kupp? I mean, not Cooper Kupp. Jesus. I can see it's Cooper.
With Cooper Rush.
Names,
with Cooper Rush.
Bro,
all these
so
same
Coopers,
names, bro.
Yeah.
So all these same names.
But like with Cooper Rush. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think that the Cowboys defense is going to have a great potential to step up.
Yep.
So I think Michael Parsons is finally going to get some, not finally, but I think he's again going to excel this week.
Nice,
He's going to be a key part in stopping Saquon.
I agree.
And I think the Cowboys will actually walk away with a win. And I had it, for 24-14. Still kind of low scoring because they're going to go run heavy. But I do believe that the Cowboys will at least get three touchdowns on the board, while the Giants will kind of struggle just to get one touchdown.
Wow. Oh, see, I don't know. I think
a lot of people think the Giants are going to put more up on the points.
That's what I expect, because I think that the Giants are going to try to go pass heavy in this game. I do expect them to throw a little bit more. There's been a lot of crazy reports about Kenny Galladay so far. Like, supposedly after week two, he wasn't even at his locker. They paid him that crazy, crazy contract. And now week two, he didn't even show up at his locker right after the game. 15 minutes after the game, he was out of there. Which is crazy. Nobody knows what's going to happen with him. But right now, the top receiver is Sterling Shepard, and he's been playing very, very well. And they got this other guy who's been playing well, too, James. He's been playing really well on offense for them, as well as Saquon, who you talked about. I think that, yeah, they played some easy teams. The Giants did the first 2 weeks of the season, that's for sure. And this is going to be their biggest test so far, even though they're playing a team without their starting quarterback. This is going to be the biggest defensive test that they play against, with Diggs in the backfield with the Cowboys, and with Micah Parsons, who I think is going to get another sack or two this week. He's going to raise his sack total again on Daniel Jones. I think that they're going to try to pass it, though, because they know that you got Parsons out there. You know, they do got a lot of linebackers out there as well, Dallas does, that are pretty decent, but you're going to try to pass on Diggs. I think you're going to try to get Shepard on Diggs and try to go in the middle and throw some slants, try to move the ball. And you're right about the game being a game of third downs. I think that whoever wins that third down, you know, whoever has more third downs and wins those, They're going to win the game for sure. I just I see the Giants having a slightly better offense right now than the Cowboys with Cooper Rush. And I just feel like the Giants are going to try to stack that box against Ezekiel Elliott and not let him get it. And same with Pollard. And Cooper Rush is going to have to try to throw it. If the Giants come out early and score two early touchdowns, then it's going to be tough for Cooper Rush to come back from behind. And him throwing from behind is going to be tough. So I do think that the Giants have a good chance to win this game, especially because, you know, they're playing at home. And it's probably going to be slightly colder than their people are used to. You know, a Monday night game, probably going to be in the 50s. So I do expect the Giants to win this game, honestly. I think that Daniel Jones is going to show out with his wide receivers this week, and he's probably going to get two touchdowns. And I do expect Saquon to ball out again, another 100-yard game. But I do think that the defense of the Dallas Cowboys is going to play decent, you know.
I think they're going to step up.
That's I think they will step up, but I still think it's going to be like a 24-21 game. It's going to be a close game for me. They always play close. Three-point games is what it always is. But I just see I think the Dallas is going to have trouble early to score points. That's what I think.
No, I can see that happening, but I just think I really personally think Dallas defense is about to have a real good game.
I could definitely see that too, because I think that Parsons is a monster. Right now, yep. He's a defensive player of the year so far right now. Monster tackles for loss, sacks. He's balling out. He can easily get interceptions too if he wanted to. I think that he's a monster, but I think that Saquon is playing better than Ezekiel right now, and they're gonna lean on him more. The Giants are, and they're gonna have a little bit more balance where they're gonna be able to throw deep. So yeah, they will lean on that passing attack a little bit more. So I just see the Giants coming out 3-0, and I mean, that's going to be a big surprise for me. But either way, like, this is going to be a big game for both of these teams to stay in this division.
Yeah, I mean, one of my homegirls, she says she's a she's a Giants fan, but she's a Bills supporter, right? But I always see her with Bills gears on.
Damn.
Hyping the Bills up. Well, she's like me. Most of our friends and family are Bills, but
right,
she's like, she loves football, so I always talk shit to her. Like, man, you're actually a Giants supporter.
Damn.
And you're a Bills fan.
You're a Bills fan, right? Right.
But she was ecstatic when they went 2-0.
Right.
So I know she'll be extremely ecstatic if they go 3-0.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's the division game already down.
Huge game. It's a huge game. I still don't see Daniel Jones as being that franchise quarterback for the Giants, but I do see him being a competent quarterback that could get him to the playoffs.
I don't. I do.
I think I'm not saying this year because I think that the Eagles are far beyond them, and the right. Cowboys, when Dak comes back, are going to be far beyond them. But I do see them being a possible, you know, like, yeah, you say these teams are mediocre, 9-8 is mediocre, but mediocre can get you to the playoffs and win you games in the playoffs. So I could see them being 9-8
can get you to the playoffs, but the personnel on your team is not going to get you past that.
I don't know. I see it differently. Like, it's happened before. It's happened before where teams have won in the Super Bowl with that record. So
right, but they usually have
prolific quarterbacks. I get that.
Or at least someone like, you know, like Daniel Jones is not about to get you in your 9-18.
No. I'll agree with that. That's a little bit too far, but I don't think
he's starting material in the league.
I think he's the starting material for sure. You got to give him some ears, man.
Unpopular opinion.
Not really unpopular.
What I'm about to say. I don't think, like, so here's the reason why. Now I can explain in a way that makes sense to you why I keep calling what you consider like the average. Because my bottom of the barrel, I don't even think some of them should be starting.
I can agree with that, yeah. I can agree with that.
So for me, like, when I think about average, they're below average. So for me, that kind of pushes the average
down a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, I mean, you still got, there's still like 30 starting or 32 starting, you know, spots.
There's
so
at least 6 to 8 of them that shouldn't even be fucking starting.
Yeah, but somebody else has to start above them, you know, right, and then right, they're still going to be in the bottom anyway. So, you know, the other people are still going to be.
I feel like,
like, who's going to start above those guys?
So that's
guys,
my point.
Above,
I feel like
subs,
my range moves with the quality.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
I get
now,
that.
The
I get
quality
that
is not that great.
Like, I agree
you got
with that.
The top five,
there's top five,
elite,
and then there's, yeah,
then there's the top 10 that are great, and then honestly for me, under 12, bro, it just drops.
Yeah, but I can't believe that you put Justin Herbert under 10. Like, honestly, I can't see that at all.
My recency bias of everyone's like hype for him. he might be.
I mean, he's not better than Derek Carr. He's better than Derek Carr, I mean, right? He's better than Jameis, I would say. You know, he's better than Tua. A lot of people, so this is the big comparison. Tua and Justin Herbert, because they were drafted.
Yeah, he's better than Tua.
So remember, Tua got drafted one pick behind Herbert. So they're always going to be together. They're always going to be like, you know, looked at with each other. And honestly, like there's a lot of quarterbacks that shouldn't be starting. You're right about that. But
so I think
he's better than Wentz. He's better than.
It might sound crazy. I think Dak Prescott is better than Justin Herbert.
See, I think that Dak Prescott's done it for longer, and he actually had some. He had a 5,000-yard season. So at this point, I would put Dak Prescott better.
Right. Like
I would agree with that.
That's the thing. Like for me, it's also like
I would agree with that.
Tier three. Like there might be some quarterbacks who might just be just as average as Herbert, but have a little bit more on their resume.
I could see that, but I mean, if you're looking at Matt Ryan right now and Justin Herbert, then I still see Herbert better than Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan is a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, to me. I think that with his passing yards, the amount of passing yards, he said he's top 10 in NFL all time in passing yards. So he's definitely.
Did you put Kyler above him?
Above Justin? No. No, wait. No. Kyler hasn't done nothing yet. He hasn't won a playoff game. He had one decent year that had an amazing defense.
Resume-wise, almost getting MVP is more than anything Justin's done.
He almost had MVP with 10 games, though. Not
10, 11 games, right?
That's
right.
Yeah, that's nothing. He only played 10 games
that
season.
Saying,
so
technically,
he didn't even have a full great season.
They both have the same
Not
resume.
At all, because Justin Herbert, he was up there for MVP last year. He was like third or fourth last year for MVP.
Kyler was up there until he got injured.
He was like first, for sure.
Until he got injured.
Yeah.
And most people thought he was going to win that.
I agree with that. I actually had him last year as my MVP, Kyler Murray, but he got injured. But
so I will put Kyler above him.
I'm just saying, though, like he had a good 10-game season, and you're calling Justin Herbert's 17-game season worse than Kyler's last year? I think that Justin had an amazing season last year compared to Kyler.
But Kyler's team was built great.
Exactly. It was built great around him, and now I think Justin has a little bit more.
He does have more.
He's got more.
We'll see there. But before we keep getting off track, because we're
going to
spend hours talking about.
That's an
amazing topic. We're
going
to keep
topic,
coming back
yo.
To that.
That's
yes.
That's a good topic.
Yeah,
because we'll
I didn't understand how strongly I felt about that.
I know, right? Me too, though.
Until we started talking.
Yo, I don't know.
I don't think I even cared about Justin Herbert before today.
That's what I thought, but obviously I like him. I must
and
like
obviously
dude,
I don't.
Right? And I should hate him because he's on the other side of L.A. playing in our stadium with the Los Angeles Rams. I know I'm wearing some Bills gear right now if you guys are not watching.
You hear this.
But I am a Rams
fan. Rotto is a Rams supporter.
See, this guy with the Rams fan and Rams support, but I'm actually the opposite of your homegirl because I am a full-on
Bills
supporter.
Every time we bring it up, I can show you a picture of me when I was 4 years old with a Giants hoodie on.
Like no, that's a fact. I'm a full-on Bills supporter, and actually, you're talking about Matt Milano. I got a Matt Milano signed hat right there from my boy 2 years ago when we were at the training camp. So I got a few Bills memories, but I got to go on my Rams. My Rams are always the shit, and they're going to be balling out by the end of the season. Don't worry.
That's a fact.
But anyways.
I would say let's review that last game.
That's
last
what I was just going to say.
Last who you got for the week. Yeah. Last primetime game. Broncos versus 49ers.
Exactly.
What can you say? Trey Lance is out for the season, and it sucks to say, but there's literally no one happier than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy was happy. Yo, you saw his smile?
The shit-eating grin he had on his fucking face when he came out. He was like, I fucking told you
so.
That
was wild, though. He was smiling from ear to ear like a Grinch.
Ear to ear, man. And then, honestly, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he
and
did.
Here's the thing. You already know how I felt. I never thought Trey Lance was nowhere near that guy. I told you, even if they didn't want to keep Garoppolo, Trey Lance is not the option. Then they kept both. And
they
that
kept
just
both,
like
yeah.
was stupid.
They're actually smart now. They needed now.
Now
it looks smart.
Yes. And then on the other end, the Broncos got a decent quarterback, a horrible coach that don't know decision making, and no one really knows what they're doing either.
Yeah.
So basically, two teams are fighting for an identity right now. Who you got?
This is a tough one for me, man, because I really like the San Francisco with Garoppolo more than Lance.
I didn't trust them with Lance.
Exactly. And they were a totally different team with Lance, especially because they lost their running back.
And now Eli's out. Yep.
Yep. Eli Mitchell was out, and now they got Wilson starting there. But I think with Mitchell and Wilson, Lance would have been better doing a lot more of that play option stuff. But now with Garoppolo, they're still going to try some play option and some wide receiver screens that they always do to Deebo Samuel. But I just think that Garoppolo plays better with Kittle. He loves Kittle. Like, he loves throwing the ball to him. And he just plays good with Deebo Samuel. And those two guys are what you're going to need to progress in this division. I think that they're going to have a tough time in this division. But if they want to keep in it with this great defense that they have, Nick Bosa, who's my defensive player of the year, I think he's going to have a great season. And I do expect them to have a good game this week against not that great of a Broncos offensive line. And if you remember, Russell Wilson, he left Seattle the last year of his contract because of that offensive line. Like, he did not want to stay there because of that offensive line. And where did he go to? He went to the Broncos, where he thought was going to be good.
I didn't understand that.
Because and now it's non-existent. Well, he thought that this was going to be a good offensive line that was going to keep him protected. It was young. It was good. You know, on paper, it was good offensive line. And this year, they just haven't been really that great. Their left guard got injured week one, but we'll see what happens throughout the season with the offensive line there. I think that Bosa is going to get some sacks on him, and I do think that Russell Wilson is going to throw an interception or two. I just expect this to be a lower-scoring game as well. Garoppolo is still getting used to playing with this offense again and playing with some new receivers, so I expect this to be like a 24-20 game as well, 24-20. I do got the 49ers winning it. Broncos in trouble.
Yeah, I think so, too. Both teams got great defenses, but it seems like they're struggling both to find their identity on offense. But the one thing is you would expect that from the 49ers, not the Broncos.
True.
Russell Wilson, and that's the thing. I'll be honest. I have yet to blame him. He's doing what he's supposed to do. The running game's not looking too good.
Yeah.
He's sharing the ball, like spreading it around. It's not like he's looking for one receiver, forcing it.
True.
It's just they're not making the right decisions. And I don't know if he went in there with certain stipulations, but if I was that man and the resume he had, I would be calling the shots. Simple as that. Like, obviously, I'm not just straight calling the shots, but, like, you're not taking me out the game on fourth and five when we're, like, to try the second longest field goal in history.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I agree. That was
not
a stupid move.
Me out for that.
That was a
and
stupid
then
move.
To do what they did when it came to the time management afterwards.
Yeah, that was even more dumb.
Like, and that's the point. Like, I
well, they called
a
timeout.
Coach,
with that.
Like, I feel like as a franchise quarterback, Mr. Let's Ride himself, he should have been able to say something. Not to mention because we already have you accredited for making the dumbest decision in Super Bowl history.
A big blunder.
And you basically allow your coach once again to, at least that time they put the ball in his hands. By that point, you should have knew, like, the ball shouldn't be in my hands. It should be in Marshawn Lynch 1 yard away. But this time you should have said, no, the ball needs to be in my hand.
I agree.
And it don't seem like he's taking charge of his situations anywhere. And that's why, like, it's so crazy because, like, a lot of people, like, I'll never forget this, and it's so perfect. Someone was like, Russell Wilson isn't a quarterback. He's a method actor
playing quarterback. A quarterback, damn.
Because he does what he thinks quarterbacks should do.
Damn.
But no matter how he does it, it never looks or feels natural. He
definitely acts like a quarterback. You're
he
right.
Acts like he a quarterback like should act. But it never looks or feels natural to us.
That's true.
So it was like he's just a method actor. And like for me, that was the perfect explanation of what he is.
That's funny.
He tries to be that guy. And that's the thing. I don't think he is. I've always praised his intangibles. But at the end of the day, so one thing that really struck me out was the amount of happiness that ex-Seahawks players or Seahawks player had for Russell losing that game.
Yeah, I know. They did. They were happy.
A lot of people were
happy.
Really clowning him for that. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show.
That's true.
These were his supposed brothers. Like, the people, like, he didn't leave. He didn't leave Seattle in a bad term. They just
couldn't
agree to a certain term. Like
they just didn't want to pay him that money. They wanted to go. Yeah,
yeah.
They
so
wanted to go younger.
It's not like he screwed them over or something. But Russ is just like, I don't think he's just that guy that gets take control.
I think I can agree with that, and it looks like he hasn't been taking control with this team. But like you said, he hasn't made too many mistakes.
No, he's playing good. I think he's playing good.
I think he's playing decent. You know, they've ran the ball very well, I think. I think that with Williams and obviously Melvin Gordon, they're both running pretty good. Over 50 yards they both had each game, which is pretty good so far. So they're getting over 100 for both of them. which is decent. I think their defense needs to step it up a little bit. Obviously, they got some young guys in the secondary that need to step it up. Patrick Surtain, he's injured right now, and it looked like he's going to be injured for a while, which is going to be huge for them. He's their best corner, Patrick Surtain Jr. And I don't know how far they can go without him because they're going to need him. He's their best corner, and he played really well last year. So I do think that they're in trouble right now. I think that Russell Wilson not taking control and not being able to pass close to 300 yards a game, you know, or do what he's used to doing, like 250 with his running attack, a little bit of running that he does, at least like 30 to 40 yards running. I think he's going to have a lot of trouble with the Broncos right now because they got a young team. Jerry Jeudy, he's missing catches, so he's having trouble there. Cortland Sutton's playing good, at least, for them. Yeah, but other than that, I think that they're going to be in trouble. I think they're going to lose this game, and they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, no, I got them losing 21-14.
Yeah.
Actually, after this last week, I'm not giving out high scores no more.
Nah, you can't.
You can't. A lot of these teams are struggling right now.
Yeah. And so right now, there's only like 5 to 7 teams that could really score like 30, up on the, 30 or more.
So right now, any teams that got above average defense, especially two above average defenses playing against each other, well, these are just average defenses. Still. But like, just the way I'm looking at it, if you're not like average when it comes to defense, I'm taking off a touchdown.
Right.
Like, until I start to see, like, right now, it's not just one or two teams. Like,
the whole league is in the 20s.
Yeah, bro.
It's what it looks like, though, because they're actually calling a lot of penalties on the offense now. I've noticed they used to do defensive holding and defensive pass interference the last few years. But this year, I saw a lot of offensive pass interference in the first two games. So they've been calling a lot of those deep balls that you just, like, throw up. And, yeah, they don't even, you know, they don't give you that full pass interference all the way down to the 1 yard line anymore. So,
yeah.
So a lot of teams are not utilizing that anymore. But anyways, we just let you guys know some of the top games of week 3.
Oh, yes.
We went through a preview of week 2. And if you got an answer for any of the questions that we had below, please make sure you go ahead and answer them. And also leave us your winners for week 3. Whoever you think is going to win.
Who you got.
Exactly. We want to know who you got in these games. These are some big games that really matter in the NFL. Also, if you guys want to check us out on Twitch, we got like some really cool stuff going on there. We put up all our videos there, our live videos, as well as some of our old videos we're going to start putting on there so you guys can check out some of our recorded episodes that are actually more, you know, that we got more hot takes to talk about and more debate episodes. You know. So definitely we'll give you guys those as well as our Patreon account. Go check us out, Patreon.com/WhoYaGot. We got some merch over there if you guys sign up for 3, 6, and 9 months. Also, we got a lot of stuff that is going to be behind the scenes there that we're going to start putting on there, as well as like questions that you guys can ask us. So make sure you guys check that out.